Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It's episode number 96 for Thursday, May 17th, 2012. Welcome back. It's going to be a very drama-free podcast. There will be no controversial talks, no stories that could get anybody upset at all. We are all going to smile and be happy. I am Phil Nickinson. I'm your host for this podcast and the editor of AndroidCentral.com. I am a happy, shiny editor this week. I'm shiny anyway. Probably happy. How's everybody doing? It's been a while since we've done this. So if it's your very first time, we are live on Thursday night. We got video rocking. You can watch the recorded version of this later. But it's been a little while since we've been here. I've been on the road for the past, God, it feels like a month. It was only 2 weeks. So 2 weeks ago, I was with Alex in London. Last week, I was with Jared and Andrew in New Orleans for CTIA. And now I am back here. Welcome. Corey Streeter from the Android Central Forums in the lower left square.
How's it going?
Yo.
Hey, I got introduced first this time.
I know. How about that? Keeping it real.
Yo. Changing routine.
Something. Jerry Hildenbrand from the site. You know him. You love him.
Well, I don't know about all that. What's happening, people?
Seriously, you have an 8-ball tattooed on your head?
Yeah.
All right. I'm just asking. Any other ink we need to know about?
None you need to know about.
Fair enough. And in the lower right, we've got Alex Dobie. Hey, somebody's calling me.
Hey, everyone.
Do you have a snooker ball tattooed on your head?
No, I do not.
Damn.
I don't have any tattoos. Come to the, all right, why are we talking tattoos? Welcome to the Android Central Podcast, everybody, where we talk tattoos, 8-balls, and Android a little bit, occasionally. So, what's everybody wanting to talk about? Actually, let's talk anything. I haven't talked to you guys about CTIA. So last week was the CTIA conference in New Orleans. I was there. Not a whole lot to talk about that we haven't already talked about. But anything? Any questions from your end? No.
Wasn't a lot of new devices really announced.
Yeah, it was pretty slow. I don't know what else to say about it. It was slow. The incredible 4G LTE is okay. I mean, it's frustrating because it's not a high-end HTC device. And like this time last year would have been awesome. Would have been great. Even 8 months ago would have been fine. 6 months ago, probably still okay. But it's not an HTC One phone, and that's that. So it's what Verizon has, and I guess would just kind of look to Samsung or maybe even LG. Yeah, although, I tell you what, we keep talking about how slow CTIA was, and I think we keep forgetting that Motorola is still lurking out there, and Intel is still lurking out there. I think we still got a lot of interesting things coming this year. So just because CTIA was a little slow doesn't mean that that's it, that we're done for the rest of the year.
Absolutely. We've still got Optimus 4X HD next month. We've still got some new stuff from Sony that's coming out in Japan now. So it's, things are still rolling along despite that.
There's that droid fighter, whatever, HD that's still out there.
Yep. And we're rumored to have more Intel stuff probably quarter three, quarter four. So,
yeah, yep.
Stuff coming.
So, I don't know. CTA was fun, I guess. Cool. It was nice to be in New Orleans. Really good to be back in New Orleans. So, that's that. It's kind of nice, actually, not having to catch up on 2 weeks' worth of news. So, should we just dive right into this week? I swear, I think this week is probably the craziest week we've had in a long time. When you think about it, when you stop and think about it. So, the AT&T HTC One X went on sale, what was it, last Sunday? And so we've had a week to get it into some hands. And then I guess it was Monday, somebody noticed that it was out of stock. And I guess I noticed, or maybe somebody sent it, I don't remember. But it was out of stock on AT&T's website, which seemed a little interesting, but not unheard of because we just don't have a feel for launch inventory, right? Like it could have just been really popular and they don't have any more in stock. And sometimes that can last 6 hours, sometimes a day, no big deal. But it turns out it was a little bit bigger than that because the One X and the Sprint Evo 4G LTE, which is supposed to go on sale by the time most people will be listening to this podcast, have been delayed in customs for an International Trade Commission review, because as you'll remember, once upon a time, there was a little Apple patent thing. So, and HTC at the time said, hey, it's no big deal. It has to do with, say there's a phone number in an email and it appears as a link. Then what happens when you tap it? Do you get a little menu with options of something to do, or does it just do something else? So the phones are being held, and I got no answer for you there. It's pretty crappy. Especially because we know it's fixed, right? Like, we've been using these phones. Nilay Patel from The Verge did a nice job of showing, hey, here's exactly, like, it's fixed. So the question is, what the hell's the holdup? Are we just looking at red tape? Is it just bureaucratic nonsense? And why the hell wasn't this fixed, you know, a week ago, a month ago?
Or, more curious, at least to me, is, why was Motorola not allowed to block Apple devices from coming into the country, but Apple was allowed to block HTC devices? Patent violation is patent violation.
Does I know that.
Apple know better judges than HTC does?
Probably.
I think what it's going to come down to is just a minor delay, and it's going to the most recent thing is it's coming probably May 23rd, we're hearing from Best Buy. So
breaking! Alex Dobie says it's a minor delay. Yeah. Everybody calm down. Things are just fine. Hang on a second. If I said that out loud, I would be burned at the stake.
But it is. I mean, the only thing they will have achieved by doing this, if it is, you know, if it is Apple that has moved it beyond the normal scope of things, is it's just going to be a 4-day delay, which is probably no big deal, really. You get your Evo 4 days later. Well, big deal.
4 days of good PR for HTC.
Yeah.
And you did write an article saying it was coming May 23rd.
Yes. Well, that's not official. So that's a Best Buy email that said that. HTC, I didn't run the full statement. HTC is like, we got nothing so far. We're still working on it. So we'll see. That's far from official. And even if it is true, it doesn't necessarily mean that you won't be able to buy it in store sooner. So I have no idea. And, you know, I'm not sure that HTC does yet. Or if they do, they're not announcing. Yeah, I mean, look, 4 days is not a huge deal if that turns out to be the case. That said, it doesn't make it any easier to swallow, and I get that. I understand that. And here's the thing, if I can find it. You want this phone. This is a good phone. Yeah, I haven't done my review yet. I haven't finished it. I barely started it. I've been playing a Machinarium all week. So here for you good people on the podcast who have joined us tonight and on the recorded version, here's my review. Great phone. Lousy network. That's nothing you don't. That's nothing you don't know. I mean, I go back to, and I don't use Sprint full time for, you know, that very reason. But I go back to the Galaxy S2 on Sprint, or that Epic 4G Touch, 4G Sprint, Samsung, whatever it was called, the horrible name. No, I mean, you go back to that, and I remember, and I was in a cab in New York, and it's like, this thing just, it won't work, it's horrible. And I get to this bar with these other bloggers, and we're all standing there, like, showing each other speed tests, and like, we're all increasingly amazed. I think Eric Zeman from PhoneScoop had the record at like 5 kilobits a second down, like, not 50, 5. And granted, it's in the city, so I understand things can be weird, but it's no better here. Let me see if I've got the app loaded up, and I'll just do one here now. It's not good.
It's not any better in Seattle either. It's just sad. They have really cool phones.
I know. And I like Sprint as a company. I really do. But so herein lies the question. And it's one I'm asking myself. I don't know that I can answer it for people. Should you buy this phone right now on the promise of LTE? I have no idea. I mean, I'm going to have an answer by the time I write this thing. But, man, that's a tough, tough question. And we're not talking, you know, with the promise of getting an update that you know will come at some point, you know, a software update. This is a pretty big promise from a company whose network right now is not good and hasn't been good for a long time. And it sounds bad. I almost feel bad saying it, but it's just the tough, honest truth. So I don't know. Otherwise, it's a good phone. It's the 1X, but I actually think I like the design better on this. I like how the front is flat, The glass is flat. It's got kind of a sharp lip to it, though, and I'm not crazy about that. The kickstand, I think, is beautifully designed, because if you don't want it, if you don't need it, it's just totally out of sight, out of mind. It's beautifully done. Very, very nice design.
Pull it out. That.
And it will lay flat like this. In fact, you see it's doing it on my hand. And it's, you know, I'm bouncing it, and you don't see the kickstand. It's moving slightly, but you don't see it, like, flying back in. So you got to work at it. So you can lay it upside down and have a charge, and that's good. It's, you know, Sense 4, which I'm still pretty enamored with. Ice Cream Sandwich is still Ice Cream Sandwich. So for all intents and purposes, this is the same phone that we've, you know, reviewed, like, three different times now. But man, the network and something else Sprint needs credit for here. They haven't totally loaded it up with bloatware. In fact, I think the only real apps you get are Sprint Zone is on there and Sprint Hotspot, which, you know, you're going to need, and that's it. So the Sprint Zone app is what you can use to load other applications. And that's a really nice way of doing it. And I think they need credit for that. It's weird having
they're
a camera.
Not as fun to hack when they don't have all that stuff on it.
Yeah. It's weird having a camera.
Does the kickstand have that weird coating on it that the Thunderbolt did?
I don't think so. And the coating came off my Thunderbolt, which actually is still lying here, dead. It's a doornail. No, yeah, I don't think so. And you know, even that coating that was on the Thunderbolt, you know, it didn't wear off right away for me. So I really do like the kickstand. The glossy plastic is glossy plastic. It is a fingerprint magnet. You know, get over that. I like the contrast between the metal and the plastic. I know I'm weird and, you know, people love to hate it. But whatever. I like the design of this phone. I really do. It's weird having a camera button again. I haven't decided if I'm just not used to having one and therefore I don't like it. Or if I like, yeah, because the way the shutter works and the shutter is so much faster now on these HTC One phones that I can just, you know, tap it. It's done. We're good to go. So I don't need a button. The button's almost too slow for me now. But, you know, that's personal preference. And again, if you don't need the button, don't use it.
If you hold this screen up next to the 1X, what do you think? Like,
it's the same display.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's the exact same display.
So they both look just as good?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No difference.
Good.
So, yeah.
So are you saying that the camera button is slower than just tapping the screen?
Well, see, that's what I'm saying. I'm not sure if it's in my head or if it's the actual, like, thought process behind my having to use my finger to do something. And, okay. And a lot of that is me just not having used a camera button in a long time. So I think if you're used to one, you know, you're going to be better with it. So.
It almost has to be slower because it's a press versus a touch, isn't it?
Well, then there's that, yeah.
You're pushing something down rather than just touching something.
Harry in the chat room says, how does it feel in the hand differ between the, I guess, asking between the 1X and this? Yeah, it's what I'm saying. I think I like this better. It feels just a tiny bit thinner. I like the metal feel over the polycarbonate of the 1X. I like the aluminum feel. I think... and it's not micro arc oxidation. It's just aluminum like we're used to. I still think HTC does that really, really well. And remember, you can put a micro SD card in this, and that's a big deal. It's a very big deal. I like it. So a couple. It's just $200, right? That's a good price. Or that's what it is on AT&T. Is the Sprint one $200? I don't remember. Anybody?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. It's a nice phone. So the big question is going to be network. And that's a tough one. That's a really tough one to answer. So I'll work on that over the weekend as I finish the review.
Just review it on Wi-Fi and say it's great.
Well, I mean, but see, that's the thing. I'm on Wi-Fi the rest of the time, right? So like sitting here at home, it works great. As soon as I leave the house, it's unusable. It was torture. So we get it, and I took it back to New Orleans with me. I was in New Orleans all weekend last week after the show. And I took it back with me, and I've got the AT&T 1X in my pocket and the Evo in the other pocket. And they're essentially the same phone, right? And I've got them set up the same way, the way I like them, and I'm used to it. One is fast. One of them has LTE. Ooh. The other barely has 3G. And, oh, that's tough. That was,
yeah.
It's painful. It really is. I hope.
And I guess the question is, how long are you going to have to deal with that? Because potentially, right. based on where you live, you're potentially going to have to deal with this for not just months, but years until Sprint LTE gets fully rolled out.
Well, yes and no. So here's the thing. I sat in on, we talked a little bit in the podcast last week from New Orleans. I had breakfast with Sprint. Actually, no, I guess we didn't because I hadn't had it yet. So I had breakfast with a Sprint networking thing, not like meeting people in business, but like actual towers and network and stuff as part of their network vision thing. So as part of this upgrade, they're basically redoing their entire 3G network as well. So there is that. Again, it's a matter of towers getting turned on and flipping a bunch of switches. But so when they talk network vision, they're not just talking 4G. So at some point, and a good chunk of it's going to, you know, get turned on this year, but at some point, the 3G network's going to theoretically get a lot better. At least that's what they keep saying. So there is that. There is some hope on that front. But man, we're still talking potential. We're still talking hope. And
yeah, I don't think I'd buy any phone that came with a promise of a better network in the future.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same principle as buying a phone based on what it might do with a future software update,
right.
isn't it?
Yeah,
exactly.
Is like 6 months from now, you're complaining because it still hasn't happened yet.
Right.
Yeah, it's like buying you buy a gingerbread phone, complain that you haven't got ICS yet. Well, yeah, because you bought a gingerbread phone.
Yeah. I don't think, you guys in the chat room asking about speed, I don't think they gave us even theoretical speed of the new network, and I could be wrong. Go back, I think Fierce Wireless and PC Mag did stories off the breakfast, and honestly, a lot of it's over my head. We're talking like Mickey Papillon type discussion, and even Mickey might have sat there and been, it was some pretty, pretty nerdy stuff. I did learn a lot, though, so, you know, even just listening to other people ask questions. It's pretty incredible, but that's the kind of network stuff you're talking about. So it was wild. But my takeaway was, all right, we're not just turning on 4G; we're totally redoing 3G as well, and we're spending a crap ton of money to do it. So I hope they can. I like Sprint as a company; I really do. They just seem a little less evil, though. I'm really getting tired of we have the only truly unlimited data plans and blah blah blah. Press releases because it's like, you know, yeah, no, quit dropping that one on me. So that's the Evo. I mean, it's coming eventually. I can't wait for everybody to get their hands on. I tell you, if you haven't been in the Evo forums where I've been living for the past 2 weeks, it's insane. I always forget how insane Sprint releases can be, but wow, holy crap, you guys are nuts. And that's a good thing. It's a good crazy. And, you know, I'm trying to behave myself off and on. Anything else in the Evo? We good there?
I think so.
Cool.
Yep.
All right. Let's get into the drama. The drama part of the podcast. What do you want to start with? You want to start with multitasking or Google Music?
Music. Because that way I can drink another beer while you're dealing with that one.
What? You got to deal with this too, man. So earlier this week, somebody pinged me on Twitter saying, hey, you can only deauthorize four devices a year now on Google Music. What's up with that? And admittedly, this is not a problem for most people, but for those of us who review phones for a living, it's kind of a mess. But here's the real world situation for me. And Jerry's been suffering through this as well. I've got a Logitech review, and it's out in the living room connected to the TV, and I use it to listen to music on the stereo out there. I use it to play the Muppets soundtrack for my kids at least 3 times a day. I like the Muppets soundtrack. It's
for your
movie.
Kids, right?
Yeah,
right.
for the kids. It's a good soundtrack. Have you guys seen it? Have you seen the Muppets? You guys haven't.
Have they changed it?
Yeah, there's a new the movie that came out with Jason Segel. Oh, it's good. You should totally watch it. It's cute. But, so, you know, my kids use it to listen to music as well. And that's mainly what we use it for out there. Cause let's face it, it doesn't do that much else well. So one of the problems with the review, and this happened, what, Jerry, after it got the 3.1 update, just every now and then it will forget that it has applications installed and not necessarily all of them.
3.1, I don't know what it did. It introduced little evil creatures.
It's jacked up is what it is. So I've had times where, I think the Android Mario or Google Play Store disappeared once, which, you know, kind of a big deal.
That's happened here.
Yeah. And so the only way to fix it that we found is to do a hard reset, right? So this happened the other day. I go to play music, you know, hey, Daddy, can we listen to the Muppets? Oh, sure. Let's, you know, where the hell did Google Play go? Where's the app? Fine. So I go to hard reset the thing. A, it wouldn't even hard reset through the software menu, which is frustrating and, you know, enough. Good thing they put a physical button on there to do it. So I go to do that, and then I can't add Google Music back. Oh, why can't I add it back? So and this is a, you know, something we knew about, right? You can only have 10 devices at a time authorized. And because I go through so many devices here, that's something I have to pay attention to. So I go to deauthorize them, and sure enough, you have deauthorized too many devices. What the hell? Which, if those are the rules, I get that, right? If those are the stipulations that the music industry has put on Google to be able to stream my music back to me, I understand it. It sucks. I don't agree with it, but I get it. But, you know, here's the problem when you have a Logitech review, and now I have two in my list, and I can't deauthorize one. It's like, oh, man. Now, it's nothing I was, you know, didn't think they would get fixed. So Google finally said, oh, yeah, hey, by the way, we just turned that on and didn't really tell anybody. So it's bad for people who review a lot of devices. It's bad for people who have janky Logitech reviews. And it's bad for ROM flashers. And that's who it's really going to annoy, I think. I tell you, so I wrote this editorial today talking about how, you know, it's still my music, but it's not my cloud. And we have to play by their rules. And it sucks. I don't like it. I get it. But it's still lame. And I think people really kind of misunderstood it. And I'm going to say right now, everybody needs to get off the first world problem thing. This is absolutely a first world problem. This is the way you're going to consume content from here on out, everybody. I mean,
damn right. I live in the first world. Yeah, I'm allowed to have problems.
You know, I do. My kids are going to. This is how they're going to listen to music. It needs to get figured out. And you know, everybody needs to quit kowtowing to the music labels. Something has to be done. So that's why it's a big deal. But, oh, man, what a mess. So Google has said, hey, yeah, that didn't work, and we can now deauthorize stuff. Which, you know, fine. But the big deal is we need to start seeing this stuff fixed. It needs to work better. Right. I need to be able to stream my music, you know, whenever and however I want. I don't want to have to, you know, pay twice to listen to it on any device. I mean, it's just, I don't know. There's something that struck me bad about them saying, oh, yeah, you can only do it on so many devices. And there was, I forget what website I saw, somebody had some ridiculous idea of, oh, well, you could give your friend your Google credentials and they could listen to it. No, nobody's going to do that. If you do that, you're an idiot. You do not give your, you know, your friend access to your Google account ever just to listen to music, even for a night. That is no. If you do that, you deserve trouble.
I'm not sure how they're going to fix it, because I am very seriously thinking about just deleting it and going to Amazon.
Yeah.
I won't be able to deal with a limited number of deauthorizations. I just won't.
And again, you know, we are not your normal users. I get that. I have no issue with that.
But there are plenty of users who still may not be normal, but they enjoy flashing ROMs on their phone. Mm-hmm. And in 2 weeks, they're going to be in the same situation that we are. Different circumstances, but the end result is the same. So,
and I'm also really not happy with them turning this on and just not saying anything.
Yeah, that's bad.
I looked last night, and I mean, it's not a lot of money, but I've spent like $95 on music through Google. Mm-hmm. You can't do that to me after I've spent the $95. You know, that's just a crock. I don't know how they're going to fix it, but they're going to have to fix it.
One easy way is to take the same approach iTunes has. Now, iTunes, when you authorize a new computer, not a new device, when you authorize a new computer, you can then deauthorize it from that machine.
Right.
So the limit to deauthorizing everything only applies once a year, but you can still deauthorize something from that machine itself. So an easy way to go about it for devices would be to just have an option so that somewhere in the app there's an option to deauthorize that device, and you could do that on the device and still have the limit for deauthorizations when you're not on the device, if that makes any sense.
And you know as well as Phil and ever, we're going to take and hard reset a phone, put it back in the box, and send it back to Samsung and forget to do it, and we're going to be screwed anyway.
Yeah, but at least there's a way to do it then. It's better than being completely screwed and having no way to do that.
Well, and thank God I hadn't, you know, like deleted all my music or something, right? And we're only using it from the cloud, which I will never ever do. But you know, potentially that could happen to somebody, and then what, right? Then you're really screwed. Well,
people are saying if you call Google support, you can get it done. You can, but that's still as far from ideal.
Yeah, and that's the point. So, you know, it was disappointing to people, you know, to see the first world problem. It's like, no, this is a big problem. This is your future.
Well, we deal in first world problems,
yeah,
don't we?
That's what we do here. We don't talk about A-tracks for a reason. And we'll explain what those are to everybody later. I know most of you don't know.
They'll probably come out with a way to make exceptions for loggers and
maybe.
I
kind of hope not. I mean, they shouldn't have to come up with whole exceptions just for us.
Don't cater to us.
Yeah.
What if you just have loads of money and want to buy loads of devices? Are they going to penalize you then?
What if you want to buy 10 from the Google store?
There's a lot of options out there.
And there are. I like Google Music. Except for this, it's worked pretty flawlessly, actually.
Agreed. I think that's why I'm so disappointed because, I love it, depend on it, use it everywhere.
Yeah.
And I'm afraid it's going to be taken away because it's just not going to work for me. And I hate trying to figure out another solution. I'm too lazy for that.
I know, exactly. It's like, damn it, we finally got one that's really good. And I'm trying to figure out why I like this more than I like Amazon. Because Amazon's really good, too. And I've used it. Remember, I bought 100 gigabytes of space.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't use it. But, hey, man, it's tough. Good problems to have, I guess. But it's still tough. So that is Google Music. It's not my cloud. I should have my own cloud.
Well, you can.
Yeah, we've talked about that before, though, and I don't want a solution where I have to leave a computer running all the time. I want somebody else to have the server. I don't want to be the provider. So,
but it works.
I'll put it in my closet with mine.
But see, then I should pay you. So why, you know, I've got these free ones.
You could have that up and running in like 20 minutes in Ubuntu.
Oh, that's true.
We'll help you tonight after the podcast.
All right, let's talk Sense 4 and multitasking. So this has been the other drama llama this week. And I'm going to let Jerry explain what's going on because, well, I'll talk about it in a minute. Jerry, what the hell?
Thanks, Bill.
What's the deal?
HTC has customized the way background tasks are killed.
Customized? You mean broken?
Well, you use whatever word you want to use, but it's different. Background tasks seem to be closed faster and sooner than they will on, you know, just the Galaxy Nexus or any other stock Android 4 device. And people aren't liking it much.
Well, explain why that's a problem or why it can potentially be a problem.
It could. Somebody said, we're hearing a bunch of different things. Let's say you're writing a great big forums thread about, some giant rant about how you hate what Apple's doing with the Evo LTE. And you've got 500 words into it. And then all of a sudden a text message comes in and you go check the text message. When you go back, they're saying that, you know, what you've wrote is gone and the page has to refresh. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not sure. A lot of the things people are saying, I can't reproduce. I know, Phil, we talked, you can't reproduce them either. So I think there's another problem. Some people are either, you know, rooted and have changed some things and they're seeing different issues than most. But enough people are saying the same things that there's something going on.
I think I definitely see that it's happening. I mean, I will freely admit this hasn't been a problem for me until somebody said it was. Like, it's not something I noticed. That said,
right.
That said, so one of the apps I use most is Chrome, right? And so, you know, I actually use the multitasking button more than I ever used to on the Galaxy Nexus, because I always thought it was pretty slow and crappy on the Galaxy Nexus. But now it's just a different kind of crappy, I guess. So one of the things that I really noticed is when I hop back to the Chrome beta, right, like it would seem to, in fact, I just did it now, and it's obviously reloading the page and not picking up exactly where it, you know, it left off, like it froze the process and, you know, put it into like hibernation or whatever. I forget, I'm trying to remember the terms that that actually Microsoft uses for it, right? Because that's how they did this on purpose. So it's obviously reloading. And then, so Chrome does it. I noticed Seismic does it, and I figured Seismic has so many other problems, that just makes sense. Yeah. And honestly, I figured, all right, Chrome's still in beta, and, you know, it's still a little janky, so that makes sense as well. So I now that I stop and think, like, in retrospect, yeah, okay, I think I can notice it. So my question to you, Jerry, and we wrote this way on purpose, you know, and explained it to you. You know, is it broken? Is it just the way HTC did it? Could they have done it better? Should they have done it better? You know,
no.
Am I even in a position to say, hey, HTC, you were wrong about this?
No. The code was, you know what? My big concern, I don't care if it's right. I don't care if it's wrong. I don't care if it's broken. I only care that it's a good thing that HTC was allowed to customize it whatever way they wanted to. Mm-hmm. Welcome to open source, folks. You know, open source does not automatically equal great. You're going to love it. HTC had source code. They could do whatever the hell they wanted to it. They did do whatever the hell they wanted to it. And if you don't like it, your option is not to buy it.
You wouldn't know that before you bought it, though.
Yeah.
You expect something that you're normally getting from Android, and all of a sudden you buy this phone, and it behaves completely different than anything else.
No, hang on, because who expects that? You're not going to get Menfree settings. You're not going to get Menfree settings and labeled on the box,
you know what?
Nor should you.
If you didn't see it in 14 days, you're an idiot.
What?
Cuss me all you want. You had it for 14 days. If you didn't notice it in 14 days, time to take it back and return it, that's your own damn fault.
And look, we've been on the other side. We've been using HTC One phones for the best part of a couple of months now, and I don't think one of us has noticed it before this came up.
Well, but it's different on the international versions, right, Jerry? Are we just talking the?
That's what I'm hearing. I mean, yeah. I've not seen an international version.
And we ran the numbers on the international One X that I've got sitting here, and still need to send.
Yes, when you load up the same amount of apps, there's different thresholds where applications are closed on the 3.1 series phones we've been able to test. They all
Is it the same difference in the 1S because the hardware is the same in the international?
It's got a different threat with the same apps running in memory. It has different thresholds for when it's going to close apps as the AT&T one does, and the international one has different thresholds. That's really easy to check. So we ran them through, and they're – I'm not sure why it's tweaked. It may be, you know, the 1X with the LTE radio may need to reserve a little bit more RAM when it starts up. I'm not sure why they did it that way, but there is a little bit different.
But, I mean, let's just shoot down this whole idea that it's
– uh-oh, we lose Alex.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh, Alex, background task got closed.
He saw my wife behind me, and he froze up.
They should stamp that as a feature on the box.
No.
I mean, come on.
No.
You've been buying HTC phones for the last whatever, you're not going to know that going into it, and you shouldn't have to go through the pain in the ass of returning it and doing all that. And it's not doing it on the international version.
Menfree settings are not a spec.
It is doing it on the international version as well, just the settings are slightly different.
Yeah.
I didn't want to make it sound like one is not doing it.
Menfree settings are not a spec that should be put on a box. That's like putting DDR speed, you know, the clock speed of the RAM that's in a phone. That should not be on the box. Absolutely not. Because then, you know what? That's one. That's something else that this poor schlep in a Verizon store or in an AT&T store is going to have to, you know, be trained on and then have to explain. And then somebody is going to, well, why do I need to know about this? And the guy in the store is going to say, you don't. I don't even know what it means. They just told me to say it.
No, being a smartass.
Oh, okay. Well, damn it. Sorry.
my biggest thing here is that we can't call it wrong. We are more than welcome to customize the Android source code and put it on any phone we like.
You're allowed to say you don't like it, you know, and I'm okay with that. I have no problem with somebody saying, you know what, I don't like the way they did that. That's fine. But, yeah, you're right. It's not wrong. It's not broken. Like
but, and then I've been getting some hate mail. Oh, you guys are rough. Why won't HTC listen to their customers? They did. Everybody said about the UI and the home screens on Sense sucked. It was slow. They made it quicker.
Right.
They listened to you. This is what you got. There's only one way to do it.
Is it behaving more like, because I haven't really seen it myself, but is it behaving more like Gingerbread? Because that's kind of how
it's actually ICS, that's less like Gingerbread. Gingerbread, I'm the firm believer Gingerbread handled keeping apps open in the background better than Ice Cream Sandwich does.
Really?
Yes.
Why is that?
Because Gingerbread will keep applications open on, well, I don't have my Nexus S anymore, but it would on my Nexus S with 512 megs of RAM that it will close on my Galaxy Nexus with 1 gig. Garbage collection is different. I'm not going to say one is better than the other, but they're a little bit different. It seems like Sense 4 has taken it even a step further. More RAM gets freed faster. So, and somebody, Adam Outler, Google writes the standards. This is not proper operation. Google wrote an open source set of code. HTC followed it whatever way they liked. That's the rules, man.
Yeah, I don't know, dude.
If you don't,
you're allowed not to like it, Corey. It's okay.
Right.
You're allowed to disagree with it. But
and I think anybody that doesn't like it should be bitching and raising a storm as long as they understand they're not going to buy it anymore. Don't support it.
And HTC is not going to, they're not going to say, you know what, you're right. You're right. We didn't bother testing this. I mean, look, they put work into this stuff, just like Samsung does, just like Motorola does. And they did it for a reason. They didn't do it haphazardly. And that's what they came back and said. They said, it's working like we designed it. You know what it actually reminds me of? And I was asking Daniel at WP Central, because I just don't remember what it's called. But you guys who used to flash Windows Mobile ROMs, and I was one of them, right? I used to flash, easily once a week. And there was the setting that you could customize how much RAM you wanted to make available to the system. And I'm oversimplifying it because it's been years, right? And you could give it more RAM at the expense of not having as much available for programs. But it would make things like Sense, actually, like the early versions of a TouchFlow, it would make it run much smoother. And it would make the operating system run much smoother at the expense of apps wouldn't necessarily load as fast, or you wouldn't be able to run as many or whatever. So that's exactly what we're talking about here, right, Jerry? Sort of?
Yeah. I mean, you have one gigabyte of RAM. Sense is a hog. It's going to take a bunch of it. So you have to manage what's left. HTC changed the way it's normally done.
Gotcha. That's all. There's no reason to be nasty about it, guys.
They didn't take anything out. They just tweaked some settings.
I hate Sense.
This isn't saying that they won't be able to tweak them back where people like them a little bit better.
Sure.
As of right now, the people we talk to, the engineers at HTC, they're satisfied. It's working as intended. This is what they wanted.
Hell, they got to get phones into people's hands first, guys. Yep. They might have bigger fish to fry right now. I fully accept that, people don't like the way this is done in comparison to, say, stock, right? In comparison to the Galaxy.
Sure.
But
can you even if you're coming from another OS, because a lot of people are, a lot of people are new to Android even, and right. People are noticing it.
I've been informed.
Different than Windows, or what is it, Mango?
Yeah, right.
Or Skyping.
And, you know, while everybody's hating me anyway, it's about time that we discussed the thing that, you know, HTC isn't selling phones that run Android anymore.
Right. And you've been preaching this for a long time.
Yes. It's once you take and you change the core framework, I mean, it's HTC Sense that runs Android applications because they left enough of the APIs. You know, I know that's a real nerdy, silly way to say it, but you know, if you don't understand it, it's iOS is not BSD, but it really is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the same kind of thing. It's been customized so much and it's so different that we almost have to decide that they're not the same software anymore.
And it's not just HTC phones, right? You've been preaching this for TouchWiz. Right. You've been preaching it for Blur. God, and Blur has walked itself black. You know, walked itself back a lot from where it was back in the like old. God, what was that phone? One of the first Android phones I used. Oh, it was horrible. Like the old Blur, where you had to log in and So you know, it's lightened up a lot.
But and there's an easy way, you know. If you're a nerd and you know a little bit about programming, you can't write a clock widget and give it one command to start the desktop clock service on all these Android phones.
Right.
You have to put six different commands to make it work with Sense, TouchWiz, LG, Moto Blur, stock Android. And it's, you know, it's a mess. It's a little different. It's something that a lot of people don't think about.
So can you fix this with if you're rooted and I think there'll be some custom ROMs that can get around this?
Yes. If people that have put a CM on the 1X, it fixes it completely. It's all software. There's nothing wrong with the hardware.
You think the majority of people complaining about it are ones who are going to change it anyway?
Probably.
I'm pretty pissed people pointed this out to me now. Now I notice it. Now I see it.
So those who have changed it, does it work well?
If it does,
why didn't HTC just do it?
Well, because, you know, obviously it was done at the expense of something else.
Yeah.
I don't think anything's broken. I mean, that's what we're going back to. So, yeah, you know what I would like to see? I think more important than this, and I was thinking about it yesterday, is I'm getting even more upset at AT&T over the whole bootloader thing. If you know, if somebody wants to get pissed off about something, that's you know, one to get on top of, because you know, here's HTC doing its part, and now AT&T has thrown a big fat wrench into that.
Yeah.
Now that said, sorry, Jerry.
I was going to say, off the record, I'm sure you've heard the same thing, Phil. HTC is ready to go. The 1X for AT&T can be added to the bootloader unlocked at any time. Right. They're just waiting for word from their partners in Dallas.
Remember back in the day when AT&T wouldn't let you sideload apps?
Yep.
And then they finally came around on that. So I'm hoping maybe it's just somebody at AT&T not understanding and just being a little too conservative on that. Maybe they'll change their mind. Right now it sucks. Because, I mean, just on principle, it's a bad thing.
Well, maybe with enough people in the chat, we've got a couple hundred people here. Yeah. How long did it take before the Vivid made the bootloader unlock list?
Ooh, I have no idea.
Because I'm thinking that AT&T just likes to take things slow. They want to put out an update or two, get everybody on the same, you know, same version of the software, get some kinks, some bugs worked out. Then they'll allow people to unlock it and trash their network.
Was the Vivid a 4G phone? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, as a nerd, I'm irked as hell, but I could see, if I were them, I could see why they're doing it, right? They're protecting their network and returns and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, like, I mean, same reasons as usual, but, I mean, the problem is they have phones you can't unlock, right? So,
yeah.
You can unlock the damn, what's the cha-cha called on AT&T?
The status.
Okay, they allow you to unlock the status.
Really?
I mean,
I got to go unlock mine.
Yep.
It's out in the kitchen somewhere, in a kitchen drawer. I took it with
That's
me to
the
that.
Best phone ever. You should totally use it.
I took it with me.
I was
going to
say, Jerry, you wanted a charm.
Yeah.
Well, I love the charm. I like that keyboard.
All right. Finally, I want to talk about this Wall Street Journal rumor in which multiple manufacturers are said to be getting, and actually want to open up the WSJ story real quick, that multiple manufacturers will be getting early access to Android. Now, that's not necessarily the same thing as multiple Nexuses, right?
Right, right.
And we need to make that distinction.
Nobody ever said there will be five Nexuses.
Right. So, and a tablet. Although we know
the rumor is there will be five devices Google's thinking about selling.
Yeah, I don't see that happening at one time, because if you give everybody early access, it's no longer special. It's just like pushing the code.
But what if five devices means a Chromebook, a Google TV, a tablet, a phone, and something else?
I still think there's going to be, maybe traditional Google TV and something else. I'm still looking for something like some serious hardcore living room type stuff this year.
Yes, I'd love to see it.
Especially because my review sucks, in case you missed that part of the podcast.
It's somebody in the chat. I want to see a Motorola Nexus. Good God, me too.
Intel.
Really?
Yep, same here. I want to see everybody make one.
Yeah.
Sounds so confusing.
I want to see a Motorola phone that's not designed like a Motorola phone. You know what I mean? Like
Would that be amazing?
I mean, I get that you want to keep, a coherent sort of, Sony Nexus. I get that you want to keep coherent design, right? That makes sense. I'm just kind of tired of it. Like, all right, here's the Razer, here's the Razer Max, here's the Droid 3, Droid 4. I think Motorola's done a really nice job of keeping everything in line. But I want to see something really cool from them. And not, like, here are Droid phones, and here's the cheap crap that, nobody's going to buy. I want to see some other really badass one. And yes, I agree.
They're not doing that, though.
What's that?
They're all doing that, though.
Yeah, that's true. Well, but Motorola always had this weird schism where there's like the really good Motorola stuff, and then it was like the B team. It's not just like, hey, here's a cheaper version of the phone. It was just some janky, the same company that gives you the Droid in the same breath gives you the backflip.
Yeah.
And I've said this
before. With the same skin and everything.
Yeah. But it's like, really? It just made me feel a little creepy. All right, so Jerry, that's what you're thinking. You're thinking just early access to code.
Well, I'm mostly thinking that we automatically, anytime somebody says Google, we think Android. Google is more than,
yes,
Google devices. It's more than Android phones.
Hey, by the way, can we quit pretending that this Google Glass thing is like a real product and should be treated as such?
It may be one day, but
yeah. Oh God, what were the stories? I think yesterday, like, it might not actually be what you saw in the demo. Well, no kidding. Something that was in a proof of concept video is going to not quite be the same when it's actually produced. I'm shocked. Shocked, I tell you. There's gambling going on in this establishment.
Have you seen the latest where some sort of infrared invisible ink that goes on your fingertips so you can play Minority Report?
Yeah. You know
what? Yeah, you know what? When you can make that happen, talk to me because I'm going to be all over it. But in the meantime, I've seen that rumor on the movies. Yeah, it's
like, just because you can do something doesn't mean it's going to happen. Yeah, I mean, it would be good to see.
How many people want that? I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, a lot of the stock Android experience is actually a very compelling thing for a lot of people. Like, that's why they bought the Nexus. So to see it on multiple devices and, maybe different options and, price points and type of hardware and all that, I think that would be pretty cool. Mm-hmm.
Choice is good. But at the same time, if you have, Nexus and... trying to frame what I'm trying to say here. Nexus and stock don't necessarily need to be synonymous. You know what I mean?
Like, bite your tongue.
No. I mean, like a Nexus phone should be stock. It should just be pure Google, and that's the way it is. But you could have, and we've had this before, right? You can have a stock phone that's not an Nexus. The
The
G2. The G2, exactly. Example. You know, yeah. Something has to keep Google's phone special. And just having one on each carrier, I'm not sure it does that. Yeah, Blackman X says the Razr is outselling the hell out of the Nexus, and for one reason only, right? It's being marketed to no end.
I think Jerry and I disagree on this, but I think the whole idea of Google having a developer phone is gone. Like, I don't think the Nexus is it's a consumer-based phone. Like, it appeals to the masses. I don't buy the idea that it's catered to this, you know, small group of developers. I think that those days are completely gone.
It's a phone that runs the latest platform APIs for application developers.
Yeah, I mean, that's what
people see the word developer and they think building ROMs. Yeah. And Google doesn't care about guys making ROMs.
It doesn't mean they don't enjoy it, but that's not what they're making.
Right. They're not building their platform around those people. That came out wrong. We talk with them on Google Plus. They love it, but they are not going to spend money on that.
No. And probably nor should they. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what comes out of it. I'm starting to get excited for I.O. If you didn't hear us talking about it earlier, Alex is going to come now too. So I'll be there. Jerry will be there and Alex will be there. It's going to be badass. I can't wait. They put the schedule up if you haven't seen it. Alex is trying to get back online. I think he's tethering somewhere. But actually, England just fell into the sea. Hate to break it to y'all. But, it's gone. All right, you want to do some? We got some really good emails I want to get to. And we got one voicemail. Shall we do them?
Certainly.
All right, well, let's. How about we start with a voicemail tonight? And it comes from Steve.
I'm calling for the Android Central podcast. Having some difficulty since my F4G got updated to Ice Cream Sandwich. My contacts aren't being recognized and playing the correct. I have different ringtone set for different contacts. The same default tone for all my contacts. I was using Go for a while, and I decided to switch out and try HandSense, and neither one of them seemed to be working. It doesn't matter what I do. I can't seem to get the phone to recognize the contact and play the correct ringtone when it comes in. It will do it for but not for call. So if you have a solution for that, really appreciate it. Love the podcast, and I keep up.
Contacts are a weird thing.
Yeah, I hate to say this, but I'll bet if you wiped your phone and went into Google online, erased all your contacts and started over again, that it would fix itself. Mm-hmm. I know that's not a solution. Nope. I'm not even going to suggest that. I couldn't do that.
That scares the hell out of me.
But it's just there's so many and I'm sure, Phil, you've run into it. You use a Sense phone. Then you switch to a Blur phone, your contacts just get all screwed all up unbelievably.
I've got you in there four times, and it has like two phone numbers for you in one and a third phone number in another.
They're adding stuff to the notes field in your contacts, and then they're trying to read back from it, and the format's a little bit different. I mean, I don't know. I wish I had some better advice, but you know what I would do? Somebody that calls you a lot. Get on the web, delete their contact, just one person.
Yeah.
Put them in brand new, just their name and their phone number. Have them call you and see what happens. And, oh, God, that's still not a solution. There's no way you can ask somebody to delete all their contacts. I just don't know.
Yep. No, I agree, and that's what I do. That's what I did for Jerry. Yeah, killed his contact, put it back in, right. Mostly right. Your name right. Shirley? I changed it to Shirley.
I'll answer to anything.
All right, let's do some emails. We got a few really good ones, actually. I want to get through them. So Shampri writes, if Google is going to have several manufacturers work on the next Nexus phones, I think that Google should focus on the software and the hardware for the camera, make it better than the iPhone or like the HTC One Line. What's your opinion on that? I absolutely agree. Here's the problem. you're talking a lot of that is software, right? And you're talking licensing, and it's a matter of Google wanting to do it.
Oh, and a matter of it's not open source.
Right.
You know, the stuff they use, like Samsung uses stuff from Kodak or whoever, that can't be an AOSP. It can't be part of stock Android.
So,
bummer.
Yeah, it sucks. I mean, that's, for me, I would probably still be using the Galaxy Nexus if the camera was better. In fact, it's sitting here on my desk when I was looking at it today. I got to charge it up. I really do like the look of this one. I really do like the lines of it. I like the way it feels in the hand. I think better than the one, actually, than the 1X. I might have to use it again for a little while.
What I'd like to see Google do is let's get the raw data from the camera. Just put the raw data somewhere, and we can download an app from the market that turns that raw data into a JPEG or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I don't think there's anything wrong with the camera hardware on the Galaxy Nexus. It's probably pretty good. You know, maybe it's not great like an iPhone 4S or the One line, but it should be relatively decent hardware, but the software is kind of crappy. And not the interface, the software that turns the bright and dark spots that you see when you push a button into a picture for our eyes.
Right. And remember, what Jerry's talking about here, and working with the raw format image and then converting it to JPEG and doing whatever, that's what ImageSense does on the HTC One phone. And I presume the Samsung one does something similar to that as well. I just haven't been briefed nearly as in-depth. So that's exactly what they're talking about. Yeah, no, I would love to. I think camera is probably the number one spec now. That is probably the most important spec, at least for me, if not for a lot of other people. It should be, because otherwise you're wrong. Now, it's an important spec, right? So, yeah, I would like to see a little more. And I tell you, that's what really burns me about the Galaxy Nexus. Think back to the presentation in Hong Kong last year, and it's like, that was the big deal. Like, look at this camera. Look how fast it is. Look how good it is. And they showed all these examples. And then we get it in their hand, and it's like, yeah, because it kind of actually sucks. Unless, hey, you're a really good photog with a really good eye and have really good lighting. Or, you know, just, what it, you know, for a point and shoot, it was not good. Burned.
Well, that has turned out to be a major disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking a bunch of, you know, it's... We can't blame Google for this. There's only so much you can do. I mean, it's pretty amazing, let's face it. You can get whatever a sensor sees to show up as a picture for our eyes. And, you know, in combination with, you know, the hardware that's in there and the stock standard software it runs, it works. There's just other companies that seem to do it much better.
Right.
But they're not open.
So that's that. Who wants the next one?
I'll take it. Justin.
Find it.
Justin writes, I'm relatively new to the Android world, and I really enjoy the show. I moved from an iPhone to the Galaxy Nexus on AT&T, and I'm an avid podcast listener, but I have yet to find an effective way to sync my podcast from iTunes to the Nexus. Do you have any suggestions for favorite apps or tips I can use to sync with iTunes to manage my podcast in some way? I think Double Twist does a pretty good job of that. Yeah.
Yep.
AirSync.
Yes. Double Twist is what.
Yeah.
In fact, it's on sale tonight, Thursday night. By the way, Double Twist and the clock, the alarm clock they have, which is really good. Just saying.
I like iSync R a lot too.
Yep.
Works pretty well. Yeah.
I'm going to sit here and look pretty. I don't never used iTunes. I don't know.
you're better off for it, but I do understand. And hey, you know what? If somebody's trying to, you know, maneuver from Apple back to Android, I'm all for that too.
Yep. I'm glad there's a way they can do it. I don't know it.
Yeah. Yeah. Beyond Pod. That's another really good one. So. Hey, Alex is back.
Oh. Whoa, hey. Alex. Just in time.
Hey. Yeah, everything died. I'm not sure what happened. But I'm back now.
Well, good.
We were told England fell into the sea.
Yeah, part of it, probably.
Well, good. You can read the next email then. We're up to Dominic.
If you tell me which email it is and give me a chance to open up the show notes, I will.
Hey, I'll read
Dominic. This one. Where are we? Which one are we at?
Dominic.
Dominic writes, hey guys, love the podcast and Jerry's beard. I have a question for Jerry. I'm recovering flashaholic. I still flash ROMs, just not as frequently as I used to. My question is, me flashing so many ROMs, is it doing any damage to the onboard memory of the phone?
That's a good question, and I'm going to assume he means storage. I know memory and storage, those two words get swapped around a lot.
I guess the answer is probably yes, but probably you'd have to do so much flashing of ROMs for it to make any noticeable difference.
I'm going to agree with you 100%, my good man. Is it doing damage? Certainly. But is it doing measurable damage is the real answer.
Reading or writing to any flash storage damages it just very, very slowly and over a very long period of time.
Now, I mean, weren't there some Windows phones that actually just have a TFT film SD card soldered in?
Yes.
For internal storage? Okay, if that was the case, yeah, you'd screw it up. You know, reading and writing and erasing the system and data partition would totally screw it up. But I think the hardware we're using, you're pretty safe.
I would agree.
Yeah, your battery's going to die and not be able to take a charge long before you're on storage. And I've got the next one.
Okay.
I've been waiting 2 hours. Charles writes, I got a question. So what's your favorite Slayer tune? Raining Blood. Listen to it now. Listen to it really, really loud. I'm going to as soon as we're done.
I was going
to
say Raining Blood too.
See? Yeah. There we go. Alex, what's your favorite Slayer tune?
Raining Blood.
You know what I really miss? I'm sorry Mickey's not here because I can just hear him saying, no. Sean writes, hey guys, with the recent rumor of Google doing various Nexus devices by various manufacturers, do you see them only making GSM models and selling them through the Google Play Store, or do you think CDMA is a possibility? Right now I'm a Verizon customer with my contract coming up for renewal in October. I think Google and Verizon is probably going to be a touchy subject for a little while.
You're still going to get CDMA phones. Probably. There's going to be at least one CDMA Nexus, I would guess. It's not just going to completely disappear.
I will make a friendly wager with you of a beer.
You think we've seen the last of the CDMA Nexus?
Well, no, maybe you're right. I don't think Google will sell it unlocked on the web, take it to Sprint, Verizon, or those other three CDMA carriers in the world.
I agree with that.
I don't think they can. And the scary part is I don't think they can do that with LTE either. It's too closed and proprietary.
Ooh, interesting.
And I don't think they'll ever be able to do it.
But you can buy unlocked LTE phones now in Australia and Asia.
Oh, well.
But do they work anywhere? I mean, you can buy an unlocked AT&T 1X too.
Yeah, well, they have the frequencies to work in Europe. I don't think anyone's tested that, but in theory they should work.
See, that's another way, you know, the United States is screwing the pooch.
Well, yeah, I guess with Sprint, you've got all this nonsense with integrated SIM cards, haven't you?
Yeah, then there's that. Which, you know, for all intents and purposes, isn't going to affect anything here for, you know, 99.9% of people.
But I at least for a couple years... I really think you're only going to see, you know, and this is if we end up seeing five Nexus whatevers.
Right. Yeah. I don't think we'll see
pentaband unlocked GSM phones.
Yeah. Which is the way it should be.
I agree.
Though I tell you what, I was pleasantly surprised by, and I guess it's not the first time I've used AT&T LTE. First time I've really used it for any good length of time was in New Orleans. It's fast. I mean, not a whole lot of people on it either, but we tethered the entire that roundtable keynote from CTIA. We tethered that from the 1X. In fact, I got rid of my AT&T unlimited data plan and went to the 5 gigabyte tethering plan just so we could stream from there, and the battery held up like a champ on tethering. Like to the point where if that was just me using LTE data, just like browsing, battery would have eaten it. But for tethering, it was I was just amazed. Now that was one instance, and so who knows? It might not do that next time. But wow! So just FYI on that. All right, one more email. Who wants it?
I'll get it.
Oh, go ahead, Alex. You missed half the show.
Onyx Black writes, I wanted to know what your experience with SensorFour on the Evo 40 LTE is. I have an original Evo, and one of the problems I have with sensor phones is the launcher constantly crashing when I use certain applications. Now, I'm not talking about trying to play graphically intensive games or anything like that. Something as simple as using the browser more than 20 minutes to return to the home screens would prompt me with the white screen, the words HTC. And he says he has the same problem with Evos, Evo Shifts, and the Evo Design 4G.
So a couple
is this
things
you come across.
Well, a couple things we need to talk about when you're comparing one generation of phone to another is A, we're talking different hardware, right? So it's a very different time, especially when you get to these Snapdragon S4s, which are just beasts. They are really, really good. You know, you're also talking single core, dual core. I mean, it's a whole another generation of hardware. The framework on Ice Cream Sandwich is just radically different, right? It's very, very new and very, very different. And same thing goes for Sense as well, right? It's, you know, obviously the way it works has changed. I assume the code has gotten better over time, although, as we talked about earlier, people will certainly disagree with that. So you kind of, and what?
They changed memory management to keep that from happening.
Right.
Just like we used to do with the Hero 2 years ago.
I have seen Sense crash, and Alex, you've probably seen it crash too in your test.
Now and again, not so much since they patched it, but I think what he's seeing here is, based on the hardware that he's using, probably is more Sense not crashing but being dumped out of memory.
Right.
Because he's got more stuff running in the foreground.
Mm.
Jerry, does that make sense?
Yes, that's if he's seeing the same thing that we used to see in the early days of the Evo and with the Hero, that's exactly what's happening. There's just not enough memory there, and it's really funny. What we did to fix it was make it kill background tasks faster, and it used to be the greatest thing in the world. And now it's broke.
You broke it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, will Sense never crash? I'm not going to say that because, you know, obviously anything can crash at some point. From a consistent use basis, you know, I haven't, you know, it's not like constantly crashing on me. I've seen it crash. I tell you when it really freaks out is when I put that roaming SIM card I have in it. And if you do that and it doesn't have any sort of signal, or I mean, it was really behaving oddly, and you could tell it was because of the SIM card. As soon as I pop it out, it's fine. That would really freak out, and not just Sense, but the entire framework. It was crashing. I have seen it do it. I want to say it was on an initial setup when I was updating a whole bunch of apps, maybe. But I mean, from a daily driver standpoint, no, Sense hasn't just been totally crashing like you're describing. So I would listen to Alex and Jerry, and I would listen to them anyway. And I believe they have thoroughly explained that.
And uninstall your task color, please.
Yes.
Yeah. I use the Evo daily for about 6 months. I know exactly what he's talking about. And now I'm using the 1S. Completely different. You don't have to worry about the headache of, you know, Sense dumping out like it did on the Evo.
Right.
It's just not there.
So I got one more question I want to read, and you guys don't have it. And it's probably not even something we need to talk about on the podcast. But I found it interesting, given all the crap we've taken over the past 2 days over this multitasking thing. And you know what? We go through this every now and then. And one of the things I like about our website is that I feel like we let people in, right? I feel that people get to know us a little more and know how we work, you know, for good or bad, right? And so sometimes that means we take crap and disagree with it, and I get mad and I get bitchy, and that happens. So so Mark writes, actually a really nice preamble from Mark, and when you get down to it, his question is this. Does Android Central view itself as a voice for Android consumers, or does it view itself as a team of neutral Android experts whose goal is to inform with the best blend of tech and practical information without regard to company carrier consumer advocacy? Interesting question. I don't know.
Do we have to choose?
Well, and that was kind of the first thing that came into my head was like, well, how about yes? I don't know that we need to be a voice for consumer. I mean, I'd like to think we are in some respect. And yeah, I think the answer is yes, if you ask me. I mean, it's fun, especially being in my job, it's weird. Because, you know, I spent so long in the damn newspaper, and where you're trained to just be this kind of third-party viewing stuff. Not to say that you don't have opinions about things, because God knows journalists do, but then you come here where you can kind of let that guard down and get into it and, you know, and be more personal about it. And I like that. And that doesn't mean you can't do both. And it doesn't mean it doesn't make it a mess, you know, and I think this week is one of those times. So, I mean, my question back would be, well, what does it mean to be a voice for Android consumers? Does that mean hopping on the bandwagon when everybody gets upset about something, even though it's not necessarily wrong? Or I don't know. And I'm okay with people disagreeing with me. I think Jerry is too. I think we all are. My thing is just, I don't like blind complaining. I don't like blind following. And I like to understand why something's doing it. And if I disagree, I'm going to tell you. But I'm not just going to, it's wrong, and you need to say something about it, because that's not going to change anything.
I'm a fanboy.
Yeah, you are. But I kind of like that about you. I don't, I mean, you can't be dispassionate about everything. You just can't, right? I mean, I've got a lot of phones here I like. I got a lot of phones here I don't like. I never liked the Droid all that much, actually. Is that all right for me to say?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And if we're going to talk inside baseball, you told me a long time ago that it's okay not to like things. It's okay to tell people you don't like things, but don't go out of your way to worry about the things you don't like.
Then there's that.
So, I mean, do we not? I mean, are there some stories out there that we're not jumping on a big bandwagon saying, oh, my God, this sucks. Everybody should rise up with burning pitchforks? Yeah, maybe, but life's too short to worry about everything that's stupid.
That's kind
I don't know how else to say it.
That's kind of my approach to these things. Like, I want to enjoy the phone. I want to use it. I don't want to look at it and be pissed off at it all the time, right? It's a lot of money, and frankly, a lot of these things take a lot of headspace. They are not easy. They're, you know, Android phones aren't as easy as an iPhone. There's a reason why I said to my wife, go get an iPhone, because she didn't want to have to think about it and how it works. I like understanding how things work. And so maybe with these, I just noticed something on the Evo I hadn't noticed before. You know, maybe with these, I don't want to just frustrate myself, and I want to focus on the good stuff. If it has a good camera, I want to focus on the good camera. And that's why I think I don't let things like this multitasking thing bother me as much as maybe I should. Or, you know, maybe some people expect me to because I edit, you know, an Android blog. But, yeah, we do things differently here. And I think that's what, you know, has risen us above everybody else. You know, 13,000 Android blogs all screaming the same thing. I'm okay, you know, being a little more analytical about it. And you know what? Here's the thing I really like. I like that we can have this discussion. I like that, you know, people are not afraid to ask that. We've had some really good discussions on Google Plus lately, and I wish the comments were a little more civil. God, even the forums have been better than comments. What does that tell you? And, you know, I mean, that's one of the things I love about this job, is being able to interact with everybody. You know, it's not something we get to do at newspapers, boys and girls. Reporters struggle with that sort of thing. It's not easy to do there. So that's one of the things I love about here. So
I wonder if everybody knew just how much stuff, and I'm sure you do it with Alex as well. We go back and forth on things.
Oh, we really
do. You try to convince me of something. I'll try to convince you of something. We'll spend an hour writing a story and 5 hours bitching about it back and forth between each other to make sure we get it right.
Yep.
Yeah, we do try. You know what we need to do? We need to do like an all-day hangout one day and just let people watch us.
Oh, my God.
They're going to be like, where's Jerry? It's 11 o'clock. I'm like,
Jerry's in bed or fishing.
Yeah, he's not up yet. Wow, Phil, you're up at 6:30 and working? Yep. Do you take lunch breaks? Nope.
And you answer emails at 2 in the morning.
Not so much anymore, but yeah. I used to. I used to do it just to mess with you guys. All right, that's going to do it for the podcast. There's your 10-minute look inside Android Central. But, you know, thank you guys for hanging in there with us, because without all you guys listening and everybody reading on the site, you know, we wouldn't be the, what do I call us, the greatest Android podcast in the world.
Damn right.
You know, I say that kind of tongue-in-cheek, but not really. We are the greatest Android podcast in the world. And if you want to get in touch with us, email at us at podcast@androidcentral.com. You can get us all on Twitter at Android Central. I'm at Phil Nickinson. Jerry is at GB Hill, H-I-L. Corey is at C Streeter. Alex is at Alex Doby. We are all on Google Plus. Go play with us there. Google Plus is so much better than Twitter for talking.
Amen.
Yeah. We are brought to you, as we are every week, by shopandroid.com, where we have all your accessories. They're getting more Galaxy Note stuff in, by the way. If you've got a Galaxy Note, you can call them at 888-468-6158. And if you haven't checked it out, we still have the daily deal, the deal of the day on the website every day. So just really discounted stuff. And it's nice to see. So if you're not taking advantage of that, you're missing out. It's good. And you can leave us a voicemail like Steven did at that same number, 888-468-6158, extension 222. Do it. Leave us your name, because we like to know who you are. So that's it. Corey, Jerry, Alex. Alex, welcome back. I'm glad England didn't actually fall into the sea.
Oh, yeah, anyway.
So we will be back as soon as we're back. Stay tuned. See ya.
Adios.
Bye. Good night.